appreciation for your presence here. I think the subject today is, as you know, is of utmost importance. That is the importance of worship. The Bible teaches early and often that a man cannot worship God wrong and go to heaven. When Cain offered his worship, the Bible says that God did not respect Cain nor his worship. And out of that, that came some curses and some that cursing for worshiping God unacceptably and inappropriately and unscripturally goes on today. So I think that we need to often turn to this particular subject, the importance of worship. Why do I attend worship? Before we get into that, I'd like to remind you, I won't take the time to read all the references, I'd like to remind you that worship has been important to every man and woman of God throughout the pages of all the Bible. The Bible says in the 4th chapter of the book of Luke that Jesus went into the temple as his custom was. He made a habit of going there. He picked up the Word of God and he read it. And then he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus himself believed in worship and setting the right example in worship. One of the amazing scriptures in the New Testament, I think, is recorded in the last few verses of Acts number 11, I believe it is. The Bible says that Barnabas, who's noted for his goodness, went and found the apostle Paul, or Saul, and they assembled together with the church at Corinth for a year and taught much people. How anyone could not see the importance of assembly and see the examples of the New Testament, it's hard to understand. And we could go on and on to give you those examples. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and 5, 6, that John was in exile. He couldn't get to worship with God's people. And I think he set a great example to us if we're ever on the Lord's day and can't get there. The Bible says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I don't pretend to know all that means, but I do know that he was attending to spiritual things. His attention was upon God, upon his soul, and upon heaven. Isn't it amazing that Sunday has become fun day? And many people make no difference in it. And many others erroneously set aside the Sabbath day, not knowing that the Bible plainly says in Exodus 31 that the Sabbath was a sign between me and the children of Israel. That Jesus said, "Not one or jot or tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled." And all was fulfilled. And the record says, the Hebrew writer said, "He taketh away the first that he may establish the second." There is no scripture for setting aside Saturday and Sunday for the Lord's Supper. I know you can argue about the time in Acts 20 and 7 if you're mind to, but the record says upon the first day of the week. People like to argue about which kind of time you're keeping. And I noticed a sign down here as I came in this morning. Yes, we are a Baptist church. We meet on Saturday. I don't know what the connection of the two is. I just read signs. First of all, and I say this with kindness, you can't find a Baptist church assembling on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, and you can't find the Lord's church assembling in particular for the Lord's Supper and laying by in store except upon the Lord's day, the first day of the week. And I say all that to get down here to why we attend worship. Isn't it amazing when you open the Bible and you begin to look at why people attended worship? The Bible says in our first reference there on the board, Matthew 6, 1 through 12, I'm I'm running out of time already, so I have to go. Do not your alms before men to be seen of them. One of the reasons people have always attended worship was to be seen. Jesus said the Pharisees love the chief seats in the synagogues. And the uppermost seat among men. And the Bible says their works they do to be seen of men. That is not a reason for worship. We did not come here today to be seen of men. However, we ought to recognize that people do notice how we worship. And it is very important that we teach the truth by how we behave. Now, Jesus himself set the example of this. In the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel, the Bible plainly says that Jesus set over against the treasury and beheld how men cast into the treasury. He's looking at us today as we cast into the treasury of the Lord's church, according to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And he's seeing how we give and will not fail to recognize that particular fact. And so he did. And the Bible says he saw how they gave, and he saw a widow there, and she cast in a very small amount of two mites. And he said, I want to tell you that this widow woman gave more than they all, for they cast in of their abundance, and she's cast in of a penny, or meager sources. And so she had done more than all. Why do people attend worship? To be seen of men. Some people attend worship. They attend worship because they don't have any place else to go. And when I was growing up, we didn't have television. I know you don't believe that, but we didn't. We didn't have ball games on Wednesday night, and very few on any other time there, but we didn't have them. Nobody that I knew of when I was going to school would dare to have played ball on Wednesday night. And some of you may not be that old. I'm just telling you what has happened. Now, if people want to do something that doesn't interfere with their other schedule, and they have to happen to be religious people, they schedule it on Wednesday night. Therefore, they have a right to miss the service of God and attend to the service of man. You might be able to tell which side my mind might be upon. And so why do people attend worship? Some people attend out of habit. Some people attend because they have no place else to go. Our generation did not have the distractions that you did. That doesn't mean that we were any more worship goers in the sense from our heart, maybe, but it does mean that we have a different problem today. Some people attend worship out of habit. I've always gone to worship. Now I don't go except at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I've been doing that for 50 years. I'm going to die doing that. What's going to happen if you die at 10 on Sunday morning? Habit. Just always done it. If you and I have gotten a habit of being irregular, it's awfully hard to break. I had a young man under my great profession when I was a principal. And they passed the law. They said, if you miss over 20 days in a year, you fail irregardless of what you make. He missed 10 days. I called him in. I said, son, if you miss 10 more days, it won't make any difference what you do or don't do. You're going to repeat this grade. Now, he had learned to be absent. And his mother and father had accepted, his mother had accepted, excuse me. And so I called his mother in. And she took him out of school and sent him to another school. She knew that I was going to do what I told her I was going to do. I don't know what the other school did, but that was just a law of man. Some people don't understand that there is a difference in worship and any other activity on this earth. It's different from sleeping. It's different from visiting. It's different from talking. It's different from texting. It's different from listening to your radio. It's just different. Because you are worshiping God Almighty. And so it is different. And you need to recognize why people were told to attend worship. Galatians 1:10 is an important scripture in this. Do I seek to please God or men? You can only live to please God or please men. You can't please them both. The way you talk, are you seeking to please God or men? The way you dress, are you seeking to please God or men? The way you spend your money and time, are you seeking to please God or men? Now, Paul said, if I pleased men, I would not be the servant of Christ. And that is the absolute truth. Every young person, I think, can understand that better than the rest of us. And so we need to recognize who we're trying to please. Singing is important to those who attend worship, because the Bible, of course, teaches that we're to sing and make a melody in our heart. In Matthew 18:20, we find that this is important because the Bible says, whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. I referred to a human name a while ago. I wasn't trying to make light of it. But I would not attend personally. You can go if you wish to. Of course, I can't keep you from it. But if the sign on the outside is not the church of God, which God's approved, or the church of the living God, or the church of the firstborn, or the church of Christ, which would be the same institution, having all those destinations being one, I wouldn't bother to go there. Because the Bible says plainly, neither is there salvation in any other name. Did you ever read that? Read that in Acts 4:12. That's what it says. It's not there. Either God is wrong or somebody else is wrong. One or the other. It can't be both. And I say that with all the kindness I muster, but with a concern for souls. Well, again, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is important in worship, but just preaching itself is not important. The Bible teaches plainly, if there come in unto you and bring not the teaching of Christ or doctrine of Christ, bid him not in their house, nor either bid him God's speed. People that bid him God's speed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Preaching the truth. Preaching is important. Now I tell you this because preaching has fell out of importance. It's way down the list on why people want to go to worship. If there is one reason people ought to want to go to worship, it ought to be to hear the Word of God preached and to hear the Word of God taught. That ought to be it. Because the Bible says it pleased God. Isn't it marvelous that today you can go and the preacher can get up and preach 10 minutes and get the job done? Now, I had to admit, sometimes when I was younger, I did wish that people would get through. But my daddy said a preacher that preached less than an hour wasn't worth driving 25 miles for to hear. He really believed that. And a lot of people did back in those days. I don't know what the difference is. I think I know some of them. I know one big congregation now of the church, now it's not as big as it was, who called the preacher in and said, You got 8 minutes. That's all you got. Well, now they can't tell me that they believe preaching is a matter of salvation if it only for 8 minutes. I want to tell you something. When you sit down to watch a ball game, now I hadn't timed it, but them rascals, they every time they entered, they used to be they advertise and you'd get back. Now they advertise, and I'd go get something to eat and go to the restroom and go back and get me a book and come back and sit down and still advertise. 8 minutes won't buy you much anywhere except in the worship service listening to preaching. And so why attend worship? Because preaching is important. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Back in the Old Testament, they brought their gifts to worship. And they killed their sacrifices. And the priests set aside a portion of that. And that became one of the ways that they did their giving. I'm glad we don't have to do that. I don't know where many of you would ever get here with a sheep. I know I wouldn't. Yeah, it'd take me 3 days to get him here. We think we got it proper, but we lay by in store upon the first day of the week. Lots of people, the day when you have to pay is the day they don't want to be there, whatever it is. And so 1 Corinthians 16, well, you don't have to pay, but you're given an opportunity to give back to God as he's given to you. Is that important? Well, it's important for a number of reasons. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. pressed down and shaken together shall men give in your bosom. I don't know where it's true or not, but I know it's in the Bible. Therefore, I have to accept it being true. The Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Did you ever think the reason? This sounds like now TV preacher for just a minute. Did you ever think about the reason why you hadn't got enough to go around? Because you don't give God something first, what you're supposed to. That's what 1 Corinthians 9 teaches, as plain as it teaches baptism in Acts 2:38. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that showeth bountifully. Now that don't necessarily mean in dollars and cents. Dollars and cents are worthless when it comes to the real things of life. I know a lady right now that I love very dearly is dying of cancer. If I had $1,000,000, I'd gladly give it if it would cure. Dollars and cents won't ever do it. And I could illustrate 1,000 other things. Now I know money is highly important to all of us, because we have to eat and of course we have to have a place to sleep. But we ought to recognize there are things far more important. Well, also, the Bible teaches, Acts 12:5, that we ought to attend worship because of prayer. The Bible says, this is interesting scripture, if you think about it, that prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. I don't know, but I've often thought that this might mean that the church prayed round the clock. Some of them did. It says it prayed without ceasing. Although it also says that for us to do that, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and I don't think it means in that passage you've got to pray 24 hours a day. But if you've got some hip and hip. And anyway, did you know that when the church prays, it strengthens the prayer? Jesus told the apostles, any two of you will agree on anything. Any two of you agree on anything. And ask it in my name, God will give it. Now I know that means anything that's in the will of God. God's not going to give something you'd go to hell for. But it strengthens prayer when people agree on it. I believe brethren ought to pray for those things that are highly important. Believe it very dearly. Well, Hebrews 10:24, the Bible says we ought to consider one another to provoke each other. We do a pretty good job of that. We provoke each other. I've seen brethren provoke one another even in business meetings. I've seen husbands and wives provoke one another. But unfortunately, it tells you what you've got to provoke them to. We ought to consider one another to provoke each other unto love and good works. My, I've got an obligation to provoke love on your part and good works, and you have the same toward me. Well, again, when we think about worship, we ought to think about who will be there. Lots of people, before they go anywhere, say, who's going to be there? Teenagers especially are given to this. I'll go there if so-and-so is there. I'll go there if so-and-so. And when you get older, it don't make no difference to you. I don't guess too much. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:9, our Father which art in heaven. Now the Bible says in Acts 7:56, that the heavens were open to Stephen as he was being stoned. And he looked into heaven. And what did he see? He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That was in heaven. So they were there. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray that we ought. The Bible says that the Spirit will help your prayer. That way, it will help you to pray more acceptably to God. And therefore, we know that these three are there and will be at worship. They're always there. I can add to this that in New Testament days, there are angels sometimes at worship services, but they won't be there today, not heavenly messengers. What will be there? If you're going to worship, what are you going to find there? Somebody said we'll have cookies and cakes. Somebody says we'll have instrumental music. Somebody says we'll have a ball game. Now, those things in themselves are not wrong, but if you go where there's true worship to God, what will be there? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 4:24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Why do I put all those verses on the board? Because nothing else is important when it comes to worship. Your ideas as good as mine, and my ideas as good as yours. And all the ideas in the world is not good as one verse of Scripture. People don't preach the scriptures anymore. When I was growing up in the Lord's church, I loved to go hear people preach, and they'd cover up a blackboard bigger than that with scripture. And that was the lessons. I know some people say that, but it never did bore me much. I always liked it because I knew the principle. My words is not any better than your word. Your word's not any better than that word. And the only words different is the word of God. Now, I'm not against illustrating, teaching, doing the best you can, especially among those that are younger. I think you have to do a lot of that. You have to put it down there. That's the way you teach children. But as you get older, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the truth will be there. Not only that, but prayer, Acts 12:5 will be there, and we've talked about that. Then Acts 2:38, what's going to be where you worship? Salvation. If you worship in spirit and truth, salvation is going to be there. Acts, the second chapter, was a worship service. First day of Pentecost. First day of the week, by the way. And so the first day of the work. And the Bible says that the apostles preached. And the Bible says the audience of devout Jews had one question. Sirs, what must we do to be saved? And the Bible says it was answered. Repent, be baptized for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that those people who did were saved and added to the Lord's church. In Acts 8 chapter, there was a worship service of two. The Bible says were two or more. And the Bible says that he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And those that said scripture, didn't use a newspaper, didn't use a fable. He began at the same scripture and preached him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came to a certain water. And this worship service was interrupted. Because he said, see, here's water, what can you be baptized? And the Bible says that the preacher said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. That's the confession. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he commanded the chariot to stand still. They stopped that chariot and stopped the Bible study. And they both went down in the water and he baptized him. It is always in order to stop a true worship service and baptize someone that is a qualified candidate. That happened in Acts 2. It happened in Acts 8. It happened in 1 Corinthians 10. It happened in Acts 16. It is always in order to stop a Bible study in order to complete your obedience to God. Now, it's not wrong if you can have to wait a little while, I don't think, but you ought to take care of that urgent matter as soon as you can. What will be there? The Bible tells us very plainly that Acts 2:43, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. When you go where the truth is taught, you won't hear this day and this next Sunday and that next Sunday. Have you ever heard me teach that sprinkling is all right? Do you expect to hear me teach it next Sunday? You'll never hear me teach it because the Bible says plainly, we're buried with Christ by baptism. I could go on with 100 other things. Consistency, oh consistency, thou art a gem. We teach the same plan of salvation that they taught in New Testament days. We have the same worship that they had in New Testament days. We teach the same organization of the church that had in New Testament days. Oh, consistency, thou art a gem, because truth is truth and error is error. And we ought to recognize it. Well, the Bible teaches that. Now I want to spend a little time on how will it help. How will it help? The Bible says, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What causes gladness? When you get what you really want. What you really want. You can only be glad if you get something you really want. I remember when I was growing up, and this is my fault, is what happened, but I had to tell you the story. We had a name gathering at school and gave out gifts. And my gift, I thought at the time, was the worst thing a young man could get. I got a big man's handkerchief. And we come home that day, and we was all as kids, and there's quite a lot of us just at my house. We were showing what we got, and they showed what this and got that game, and that and got that game, that and got game. And so I said, all I got was a big man's handkerchief. It did not make me glad. I didn't want a big man's angel. I'd been lying if I said, I'm glad that you gave me a big man's angel. I didn't let the other person know. Now that I've thought about it, it really was something that probably cost them as much as anything else. And they probably looked at my nose and thought I needed it. But I remember. Now, the Bible says these people, when they got into worship and obeyed the word of God and worshiped in truth and taught the truth, that gladness filled their heart. Why? Because they got what they wanted. What are you looking for? Salvation or a feeling in your chest? What are you looking for? A home in heaven or the approval of your fellow man? What are you looking for? You know, all I want to hear when this life is over, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. I don't want him to list up all the things here and all the things there, this and that. He don't have to. And I'll be glad. The Bible says the eunuch, after he was baptized, went on his way rejoicing. Now, if that had been us, we'd said, man, I obeyed the gospel. It's hot out here in this desert. And look here. I got 400 miles yet to get home from this worship service. Now, I don't know how he traveled it, but that was 500 miles if you take the map. And so, but the Bible says he went on his way rejoicing. The Bible says in Acts the 16th chapter, a most unusual thing was taking place. The prison was all broken up. And if you were a keeper under Roman law and you let the prisoners get away, they didn't give you no trial. They just killed you. Read Acts 12. They let Peter get loose. Herod come down, and he killed all 12 of them. Now, if I read that correctly, they weren't all 24. They weren't all there at one time, but just killed a whole bunch. So the jailer started to take his own life. The Bible says that he listened to the word of God. And they took him out of there same hour of the night and baptized he. His household was also taught and all his house straightway. And he came back into the house after it was over. And he set meat before him, rejoicing in the Lord. It wasn't for the food. It wasn't for the food. He had found what he was looking for. Now, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it. Seek ye the Lord while it may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We live in an age where we beat ourselves up, and I beat myself up, and I still think I'm not doing it because I can't find those seekers. If you're seeking the word of God, I've got the time to read it to you. I've got the time to let you read it to me. I'm looking for you if you're seeking it. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We live in an age where those seekers are not very fit. And when you do get them, therefore, they are not too happy. They come in by generation instead of regeneration. And I'm not against parents teaching and making them come to worship. That's necessary. My mother made me to go to school. She made me to go to there and be there. She believed that I ought to be there every day. And I always like parents to believe that because that's what my family believed. And so we ought to believe that, but if you've been made and you've got into the church and you come in by generation rather than regeneration, you hadn't been washed clean, you got a new heart, you ain't got a new purpose, you ain't got a new goal, and so you're just there and it's always been the thing to do. That won't work, and it doesn't work. And so we read there in that passage, of course, that they were there, but they were not as steadfast that they ought to be. Now the Bible teaches also, how will it help? The Bible says in Acts 2, Philippians 4, 7, it'll give you a peace. You know, people are spending all kind of money on drugs to try to find peace. I still believe that a man that makes peace with God is on his way to about all the peace he can find on this earth. The Bible says in Philippians 4 here, there's a peace that passes understanding that shall keep your heart in Christ Jesus. If you found it, you found something the world will never find. because they seek peace when there is no peace. Then again, the Bible teaches that worship will help you to be ready. Ready for what? You ready to go to the ball game? Yeah, let's go. You ready to go eat? Yeah, I'm just about ready. I'm ready. You want to tell me two or three times? I'm ready. Jesus said, be ye also ready. Matthew 24:44. Ready for what? For when you think not, I'm coming. Anybody think Jesus is coming today? This could be it. I'm coming. Be ye also ready. How does worship help you get there? Because in worship, we encourage one another, and we encourage one another to obey the gospel. Have you ever read carefully Revelation 22:17? The Spirit and the Bride say, not sit, not even attend. Come, and let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. That's obey the gospel. Come. Worship helps you get ready. Most people I know of were made ready by attending worship even before they were Christians. Staying at home will make you ready to go to hell. Staying in the world will shorten your days, according to the Bible, and ship you off to hell before you're even halfway ready. But worship will do that. In Acts 8:22, it was at a worship service when Peter stood up and he said to a man, thou art in the gall of bitterness. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore and pray that perhaps the thought of thy heart might be forgiven thee. And to the credit of that member of the Lord's church, he said, Peter, pray for me. He was restored. If you're in any way human, you're going to sin. And when you sin, you need to straighten it up. And the church, the bride and the spirit, say come and do that. Worship will help you stay ready. I've never known anybody to obey the gospel at a ball game, have you? We may not say we ain't got many of them. I've never known anybody to obey the gospel at a movie theater. I read that some got killed. I've never known anybody to obey the gospel when they were on a trip somewhere for their pleasure. I guess that's happened. I don't know about it. But I know some people obeyed the gospel at worship service. I told you about a bunch of them. And in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of them, and I hope to see a lot more. And I'd like to see some this morning. Why do you attend worship? Is it to please God or to please men? If it's to please God, then the Bible says, faith, whosoever has no faith cannot please God. Except you believe that I am He, you die in your sins. And without faith, you cannot please God. If you believe in God, I appeal to you, think about this. We're all right on the verge of eternity. Believe in God and repent of your sins because you know that you've sinned. Turn away from them. Confess the greatest name on this earth and you have the guarantee when you stand before God in glory, the Lord will confess you. He'll say, that's one of mine. Be baptized by a beard in water for the remission of your past sins and you will be saved from your past sins. And the Lord will add you to the church kingdom. Live a faithful Christian life day by day. Don't take it all on you at one time. Day by day. And you'll make it to heaven. And if you do sin, do as we all have to do. Make confession of your sin and repent of them. And pray because a Christian's prayer availeth much. And we need the prayers of each other. Why do you come to worship if you're not trying to go to heaven? And if you're trying to go to heaven, obey the Lord while together we stand and while we sing.